I would like to share with you Mature Christian. That's the title of my sermon today. My wife Susan and I are blessed with two wonderful kids, Jeffrey and Joy. But as you all know, actually parenting is not very easy. It's very challenging. But in the meantime, it's actually a lot of fun. There is one part I really enjoy being a parent. It's just to watch the kids grow. You know what I learned? I learned boys and girls, they have very different growth patterns. And they have different growth firsts. And, you know, besides that, boys, each boy is different and each girl is different. Every single of them has a very unique growth path. We have a lot of teenagers in our church. And just by looking at you, I mean, most of you are much taller than your parents and much stronger because of the, I guess, good nutrition. Probably you eat too much McDonald's or something, or KFC. Anyway, you are much taller and stronger than your parents. And I know most of them, most of you, probably are a lot more knowledgeable than your parents. I know for myself, when I was your age, I didn't know anything outside because the farthest distance that I traveled probably at Jeffrey's age, probably only 15 miles, 10 miles. And so the resources was so limited for me. But for you guys, you know, you have so many resources to access to. You have the internet, and then you have good schools. So you accumulate a lot of knowledge. So it appears you are more knowledgeable than your parents, but not necessarily smarter. But if you could fool yourself even just by looking at your physical body and everything, you think you are grown up, you are adult, but actually inside your emotion, your mind, and your will are still a child. And so you could fool yourself. Do I worry about that? Because a lot of you are very tall and you are very rebellious and you know you have a strong will and you behave like a typical teenager, you know, or youngster. Do I worry about that as a parent? Of course I worry, but I have the confidence, you know, if I expose you to the right environment, surround you with the right friends and people, and eventually the maturity will come and you will pick up everything you need to be a mature college student and high schooler. So I don't worry about that because if you go through a healthy and balanced growth process, you will just be doing fine. As a matter of fact, you know, I have been at this church for 12 years and I have seen so many of you grow up in this church and most of you are so smart, you excel academically, and you go to good schools, and more important than that, and you develop a loving heart for the Lord, and that's very comforting. And I see so many of you go out, equip yourself, and serve the Lord with dedication, with talent, with passion, and that's the true blessing to our church. I can witness myself, this church is truly, truly blessed. If you look at Luke chapter 2:52, it shows us an example of a healthy, balanced spiritual growth. I would like to have one of you read it for me. Mary, could you read it for us, please? Luke chapter 2:52, please. Yeah. So a healthy growth means you grow physically and also you grow spiritually. So you find favor with man and you find favor, more important, with God. But the fact is, not all churches are as blessed as our church. And not all the spiritual growth is healthy. So this is especially true today if you look around the churches in the America, this is not typically the case. The Bible teaches us when we first were baptized into Christ, we were like babies. What does the book of Hebrews say? It says we are infants living on milk. It's unfortunate for some of the Christians, after they were baptized, they just lost their spiritual appetite. They have no desire to grow, and they stop the intake of the spiritual nutrients. So they remain as a baby. So 5, 10, 20 years from their rebirth or spiritual birth, they are still like a baby. They cannot eat solid food. Some brothers or sisters are doing better than that, but let me give you some examples. Some Christians are interested in the biblical knowledge. Okay, they are very curious and they are keenly interested in biblical knowledge. So they study really hard the Bible. And they study like a scholar, like Prophet Philip and Brother Huang. So they study really hard, but they treat it as an academic exercise. So what grows in them is only knowledge. So their head is getting bigger and bigger. But that's the only part that grows. Guess what happens if your head is too big, too heavy? This is one type of Christian. The other type of Christian, well, they like to talk. So they practice their presentation, communication skills, and they are good talkers. So eventually they become big mouth Christian. They can talk the talk, but that's all they can do. They cannot walk the walk. There is still yet another type of Christian. They are task-oriented, you know, they like to do things. So what do? They pack their schedule with all kinds of church activities, you know, parties and all kinds of activities. Maybe outing and... So eventually what they develop is their legs and arms. So they are very masculine. So they have muscular arms and legs, but not much brain. So it's not good either. Well, I can probably keep on going, you know, give you more, but you got a sense of what I'm talking about here. So one problem facing the church today, especially in America, is we don't have enough mature Christians. We don't have enough well-equipped, unashamed, approved workers for God. For a lot of churches, the church is a daycare. And instead of being a training ground, it's a playground. Well, let's talk about mature Christians. So what exactly is a mature Christian? Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. Let's all read it together. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So based on this paragraph, there are 8 marks about a mature Christian. The first one, I just forgot to turn it off. Because I was picking up students this morning, so I need to turn it on. I forgot about it. The first characteristic of a mature Christian is a true Christian faith. A true faith, you can use this to distinguish a true Christian or a fake Christian. As simple as that, if you have the saving faith in your heart, you are saved. If you don't have it, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, you are not a Christian. And the true Christian faith is also the fundamental, the most basic characteristic of a Christian. And everything else, all the other characters or characteristics we build, will be built upon this faith. The second mark is goodness. What kind of goodness we're talking about here? It's not a goodness that you do good things, you show kindness. That's not enough. It's the revealing of the goodness of the Lord living in you. So it's the manifestation of Christ through our Christian living. A mature Christian really lives out his faith. His Christian living should be appealing to the people surrounding him, around him. He should attract the people by his Christian living. People will see him, see his family, see his work, see his attitude, see his spirit, and will be attracted to him and ask, "What do you have I do not have? What makes you live that way?" He should be the salt and light for his time. The third mark of a mature Christian's knowledge. Let me ask you, is knowledge good or bad? It's a good answer, depends. Knowledge itself is neutral, but I think initially knowledge is good. But today, in secular world, unfortunately, knowledge often is used for two purposes. One, to boast, to show pride and to show superiority, I know more than you, I'm smarter. And second, to use it as a tool to make a personal gain or a personal profit. It's a tool for living, that's a fact. It shouldn't be this way. For a mature Christian, the pursuit of knowledge should be like what Newton did or Galileo did. In good old times, the pursuit of knowledge is to understand, to increase our understanding of God, the Creator, and His creation. So for a mature Christian, he should be very curious and very eager to learn about God. The more he learns, actually, the more humble he becomes, because he knows, the more he knows, the more he knows he doesn't know. What's the benefit of increasing knowledge, especially spiritual knowledge? A deep knowledge put our faith on strong footing. And also it empowers us and transforms our life and makes us sure of our salvation and the biblical truth, so that you will not be swinging back and forth, you will not doubt so much, and you will not be tossed around by heresy and false teachings. And lastly, spiritual knowledge provides us with gifts and talents to serve the Lord according to His will. The next characteristic is self-control. And self-control is also one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Why Peter ranks self-control number 4 here? Let me ask you this question. Is it possible for you to exercise your self-control without the three qualities we just mentioned? Is it possible? I don't think it's possible. So what is self-control? Self-control means not indulging ourselves in anything that will enslave us or make us addicted, make us change to something we cannot break away from. It means the breakage of the control of our flesh and ourself and earthly desire. As a mature Christian, he should know what things he can do and what things he wants to do. More importantly, a mature Christian also knows he can say no whenever he wants to the things he ought not to know or he ought not to do. So he can say both yes and no. Everything he does should benefit himself. He should seek the good of others. Let me give you an example. I know a lot of younger generations like to play electronic games, watch videos, play video games, watch TV, go to the internet, go to Facebook. Are those games good? Yeah, there are some games are, I have to admit, you know, I'm really biased, but I have to admit some games are good and educational. But for the most part, I said I'm biased, but for the most part, it's just killing time and, you know, just relief of some stress, and I understand it. Because I have my own way of relieving my stress. But if you become addicted or indulged in it, is that good? That's not good. Have you heard of stories in mainland China? Some young boys died in the internet cafe because he played the game days in and days out, and just for days there. And eventually he died on the spot. It's not fun. It's strange to us. But just think about it. If you let your flesh take over, and if you don't have self-control, these things could happen. So next time when you play video game or any electronics, set some screen time for yourself, right? Get a timer. Start exercising. It's going to help you, probably in college, because no one will watch over you in college. Number five is perseverance. Spiritual growth is very long and it's enduring, as it's very hard. No one is going to become a spiritual giant just overnight. And the exercise itself is not fun. It's painful. Especially during a trial time, when you are having hard times. You lose a job, you lose your health, you lose your wealth. It's going to be very hard. But for a mature Christian, when he faces this, his attitude is different. He's always hopeful. He remains steadfast in his faith. He stands firm in Christ. Well, we are all humans. Sometimes a mature Christian can also get discouraged, but he doesn't give up easily. He understands this process of growth. He understands this growing pain, the purpose of it to train ourselves. So he can be patient. He can patiently wait for God's timing and God's deliverance. And God is faithful. He never fails on us. So what James said in James chapter 5, verse 7. Lori, can you read this to us, please?
Thank you.
the hope that the crop will eventually pop up and you will have a good harvest that keeps you going and keeps your hope alive. Number six is godliness. Some of you know Chinese. The Chinese word for godliness is interesting. It has actually two characters. 前进. It has two parts. It means holiness and fearful. A mature Christian should live a holy life, pure, simple, and pleasing to God. And he should be also fearful of God. Like Sophia was saying, always standing in awe of God. Because he should know everything he does in this life, everything he says in this life, everything he does. It's just a preparation for eternity. And one day at the judgment seat, everything you say, everything you do will be judged. You will be held accountable. So be fearful. To add to these six characteristics, there are two more, and they are related to love. One is brotherly love, and one is love for all. The brotherly love for a mature Christian means he cares deeply about the well-being of his brothers and sisters. Financially, physically, spiritually, and he's very sensitive to their needs. He's very compassionate. He's not cold-hearted, so-called Christian. Finally, love for all. A mature Christian should be like Paul. He should always have the burning desire to preach the gospel to non-believers. He commits his life to saving souls for Christ. On the contrary, there is another type of Christian. They do not bear fruit. This type of Christian is like a woman who does not give birth to a child. Well, in the Bible, you know, there are some women who want to really have a baby badly. Anybody know their name? Give me some examples. One is Hannah, Samuel's mother, and the other couple, the other two, Rachel and Leah. Remember they were fighting, see who has more babies or children to win the fight. I'm so impressed by the young couples who are having a hard time trying to get the mother pregnant and give babies. I mean, they can try everything they can. They are so desperate. They spend a fortune and they seek doctor's advice. They travel here and there to see different doctors to get advice. They freeze the eggs, hoping one day there will be a technology breakthrough so they can still have their baby. Especially for women in their late 30s and maybe mid-40s, because they know their time is running out. So they are very desperate. So they can try everything they can. Just compare our attitude to preach the gospel to those women. Do we have their sense of urgency, anxiety, despair? I think we should have a sense of guilt and shame. If we don't have the burden to preach the gospel, to bring people to Christ, commit yourself to lead at least one person to Christ, to save one soul in your life. You know, there's a famous, well-known Chinese evangelist in the early 30s and 40s in last century. His name is Dr. Song Shangjie. He committed to God, bring 100,000 souls to Christ. And he delivered And he died at the age of 46 because of his hard work. He exhausted himself and died very young. He actually was a PhD chemist from Ohio State in the early 30s, 20s from last century. We're not like those spiritual giants, but we can do what we can to help expand the kingdom of God. Let's do a simple math. We have 20 billion Christians on this planet, and the whole population is 60 billion. If each one of us tells the story of Jesus just to one person, how long does it take for the gospel to reach everyone? How about in 1 year? Just talk to one person in 1 year about Jesus. It won't take long. In less than 3 years, everybody on this earth will hear about the gospel. I don't know your feeling. When I read this passage, there are two words stand out. The first word is make effort. Make every effort. So what the apostle Peter urges us to do here, do not be lazy. Do not be lazy. Seek every opportunity. Work very hard. Work diligently to train yourself and acquire these good qualities, to increase these good qualities in your life. So there shouldn't be any lazy Christian or laid-back Christian. Everybody should be a hard worker. The second word that strikes me is the word attitude. So the spiritual growth is addition. So you keep adding all these qualities to your life. So one day, your life will be so rich, so abundant, it starts overflowing. And it will run like a river. And your life will be a blessing to others. For some of you ask me, how do I know I'm growing spiritually? Is there a measurement? Well, there is a yardstick. That's Jesus Christ himself. Because he is our ultimate goal. To put it simply, the maturity of a Christian is proportional to the length of the quiet time he spent with Christ. If you spend more time, you will grow. If you don't spend any time, you will be a baby. I will be a baby too. So, someone actually on the internet proposed 5 easy steps to practice become a mature Christian. Step number 1, get up early. Rise early, be unhurried by your routine schedule before God. Have a quiet heart. Number 2, commit to meet God at a regular place and a regular time every day. Have the commitment. Number 3, pray to God and read his word every day. Number 4, stand before him for instructions, guidance. And number 5, go out to the world and do his will. Finally, for those of you who are students, I also found some very useful tips for spiritual growth. Dr. Wesley Black is a theology professor at Southwest Seminary in Fort Worth, Dallas area. He wrote an excellent practical guide for spiritual growth. I think I put it on the PowerPoint here. Let's see. Number 1, seek spiritual growth. Number 2, possess a vital faith. Practice it. Make it a way of your life. Live a life of service. Serve God. Reach out to others. Exercise moral responsibility. Live a moral life. Be a moral person. Confess publicly about your faith, do not be ashamed. Possess a positive spirit, always be positive. So I have a take home message for you today. First, it's also a challenge. Be a true Christian. I mean true to God, true to our faith, and true to ourselves. Don't deceive ourselves. Number two, live a normal and balanced Christian life. And number three, become an unashamed, approved worker for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give thanks to you because you gave us your precious word in the Bible to teach us how to live our life, how to be a true Christian. Help us to be close to you and help us to commit ourselves to spend time with you because you are life and we are your children, you are our Father. Help us to grow spiritually, to increase all the qualities we have talked about today so that we will be more like you. And we just pray that the young people in this room will do wonderful work in their heart. Prepare them for their growth. Equip them so when they grow up, when they go out, they will be your qualified workers and they will bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.